that was a killer.
Well, before we get into the topic, we would like to know a little bit about who you are. So please raise your hand if you have ever participated in adult learning at church. Okay. How about on Sunday morning? Is that the venue that you were? Raise your hand this Sunday morning. Okay. How about in a small group, like in home or something like that? Okay, all right, that's good. Other places. Where else have you had adult ed?
Campus ministry.
Campus ministry? Okay, okay. Yeah.
At the coffee shop.
Okay.
Good.
Okay.
Top Evans.
Okay.
Same for us, that's where I miss. Monthly meeting, yes, at Pop Evans.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How about retreats? Weekend retreats, something like that. Okay. Okay, good, good. Lots of different places. How many of you have been teachers of adult learning of any kind? All right, okay. How many of you are program planners? Responsible for setting up programs? Okay, all right, well, you should stick that hand all the way up, Joyce, so you don't know who it is. Okay, well, now I'll tell you a little bit about ourselves. We started our Christian education in Sunday school. In fact, we would have been in the same grade, but Dick was precocious. In the same year, we were born in the same town, and his mother was the teacher of the three-year-olds, but I was held back because I was too young. So anyways, we started out a long time ago, and we continued in that all the way up through adults in every place we were, including the year we lived overseas. So we've had a lot of experience with different kinds of adult education. And we also have been leaders for a lot of those years in various places. And we have been teachers for 30 years at the adult level professionally, and also about all that time we were teaching kids or adults or teens. So we've had good experience. And we want to have other people have that experience because we gain so much from that ourselves. So that's why we're out spreading the word.
So adults seem to learn well when they're presented with a situation or a problem, and then taught to use principles, ideas that will lead to some kind of a solution. We were encouraged to write and publish materials for the church with that type of format so that others could use them too. And we published these through our company, Life Crossings, Resources for Life Choices. Along the way, we've been blessed and mentored by several pastors and theologians. I'd like to mention one, our good friend Walter Bowman, now deceased, who was an early program director here at Holman Village and a strong influence on us and on the endeavor in adult learning that we're about. So all this week we'll be looking at adult learning and the role it plays in developing Christian community and advancing the common good.
How'd you do that?
Huh?
Please come in. This is our first time to actually use PowerPoint, so we're it's a miracle.
Oh, how'd I do that?
It's got the clicker, right?
I got the clicker.
It's good thing he's got it, not me, huh? Well, so why should there be adult learning? Well, we believe that faith is more than a Sunday morning experience. We believe that it should not be separated from the world. It should not be compartmentalized. Do it on Sunday morning and then you're done with it. It's kind of like a sermon, you know, some people think that's the case. Faith is really intertwined with all the challenges and activities and everything that goes on in our lives. And the issues that we face don't necessarily have a right or wrong answer. And so we have to make decisions. But there's a lot in the media nowadays that says there's one way to do this, that's the right way. But we know that there are issues that we come up against that we could not agree that that was the right answer. And faithful people can make different decisions on the same issue and still be accepted and loved by God. So we believe that people need a safe place for questioning, for sharing, for learning, and that's what we think adult education can provide. And that's what we're going to be working on today. So we say that, next one, a vibrant adult education program will help create this kind of safe place for talking and sharing about the challenges of life.
So we believe that churches can be communities of people with strong connections to each other so that questioning, discussing, sharing can occur. The communal nature of these activities is important. The sharing between committed Christians who live in God's forgiveness. Committed Christians who, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, try to put their faith into action by following Jesus' example of love and justice. In a strong adult education program, communal sharing can and will occur.
As you know, Jesus often used parables to get across his point. And so we're going to try to follow his method today. Or I guess we should say his model. So each day there will be a story that will be told, and it will be about some issue that pertains to something Christians face in their life or in society in general. And then each session will be interactive. So you aren't going to just all sit here. You're going to need to say something and participate. And you will want to participate. You will want to say, I'm tired of them talking, and let me say something. Because we want you to experience that adult learning is best when there's questions, discussing, and sharing. And we love the Holden theme for the summer, where love abounds. Where the river flows, love abounds. Okay, but since our topic is adult education, we think that where adult learning flows, Christian community and common good abound. Turn on brain, Judy. So all this week together, we're going to be talking about connecting adult learning, Christian community, and the common good. And you'll see the five sessions that we're having here. Today is the first one, and you'll see the direction that we're going, how we're going to start out with today, how adults learn and learning in church. Please come up here and be part of the circle. And then tomorrow we'll learn about learning in churches and building community, and you'll see how then we progress to looking at enhancing the common good.
Okay, so we're not some government security organization trying to connect the dots. Actually, we want to show you many ways that adult learning in Christian community can not only strengthen our faith, but also enhance the common good of our neighborhoods, cities, and our country. So our session today is going to focus on the first connection seen on this slide.
So we're going to begin with a story called Overheard in a Pub. And I'm going to read it. This new technology is amazing, but sometimes I think it has gotten completely out of hand. Everything happens so quickly. It used to take a long time for ideas to be published and disseminated. But now, why, one doesn't even have time to think carefully about the words before they're just sent on their way. And to an unimaginable number. No one keeps anything in their brain anymore because it is so easy to look up information. And that information is so portable that no one can control the content. Why those new ideas are going out to the masses without censorship. No one can watch what our young people are exposed to. I worry that radical ideas might be spread. And I've had to learn a whole lot of new skills just to keep informed. I do like, however, that I can get materials for my private and family devotions. But sometimes I worry about people who can't afford this. How will they keep up?
Okay, Judy and I have talked enough for the moment. Now it's you folks' turn. We'd like you to talk a couple of minutes with the person next to you about the issues that are raised in this story and any positive or negative effect you noticed. Next slide here gives a little summary of what Judy just read and the two questions we'd like you to talk about just for a couple of minutes. So to go in pairs and have a perfect. have at it with those two questions.
We did it right, we got it.
Have at it with your neighbor.
You understand?
Okay, let's come back together again now, please. Okay, first of all, what's the new technology that's talked about in this?
Say that again?
What is the new technology that we're talking about here?
Smartphones.
Smartphones, okay.
Internet.
Social media.
Okay, okay. All right. Did you ever been someplace where you saw something like this?
Hardly ever.
Were you in my room when you
next Sunday?
That slide could be anywhere.
And did this come up in your conversation?
Sure.
Yeah, well, I took this at our family reunion a year or so ago. These are cousins that don't see each other very often. Mm-hmm. And they did this a good bunch of the time that we all were together. And another time we were another city visiting on Dick's side of the family, and after breakfast there's three adults and two teenagers sitting around the table talking. And pretty soon the dad notices his daughter and her cousin going like this, and he said, "You're texting about us, aren't you?" The kids got beet red. So he knew he was right, and we knew he was right, and they knew they'd been caught. So they put their cell phones up on the table where they could be seen, and so they wouldn't be tempted to talk about these old fogies, which was us and our nephew talking. So anyways, that is one of the issues that happens. So what are the positive and negatives that you said about all those different methods or technology you were talking about? Did anybody have something other than what was in the story?
We were talking about Tiananmen Square, which has been a few years ago now, but the students at Ohio State University got the news that was blacked out in China, in Beijing. And so they were, all students who were there just for, were getting their degrees. So they were sending email. It was a little prior to some of the technology now. But they were sending email over to Tiananmen Square telling them what was going to happen. They were talking about tanks, they were doing this, they were doing that. Because the students there, it was all blacked out, and they didn't know about it.
So that's a positive thing.
Okay. Was I supposed to do negative?
No, positive or negative. But most of the things that this person was talking about were kind of owie things. So what are the positive things that you all said? How about the smartphone? What's a positive about the smartphone?
I don't have one, so I'm not sure. But, it's just information at your disposal. How long has Holden been here? This is my first time, so there's a lot of history I can just click on before I get here to find out.
Yes.
And a wealth of information. The fellow that was the business manager was here a couple of days ago. He talked, and he said, they've recorded stuff for years, and it's all archived. You can just go on the internet, and you can archive stuff that happened here 40 years ago, which is a little overwhelming when you get to be our age, that you try to keep up, and you can't have an honest conversation anymore because somebody's going to correct you because they've already got it on their cell phone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But at the same time, it may not be correct on their cell phones. There's so much in print that people believe it's correct just because they see
it. I heard someone say in airports.
On Wikipedia,
Well, I found when email came along, which was about the late 80s, I guess, early 90s, I began to know a lot more about what was going on in my organization. We didn't have to wait for management to let it trickle down.
Yes.
Finding out and sharing it.
Yes.
And that's really flattened the
Yes. Yes. Well, we have family that lives in Connecticut, and we're in Ohio, so it's really great to be able to just send a couple sentences about what they're doing. And our daughter sends us her sermon every Saturday night, and that's always fun to read, and not, sometimes I see she finished it at 2 a.m. and then, not usually.
Skype is fun.
Yes,
yeah, that's really
Skype.
Our kids are a long
reason.
Ways away
yeah.
from the country.
Yeah, right.
But hold on. This person in the pub wasn't talking about Skype, wasn't talking about email, wasn't talking about the internet.
You're right. All this stuff was written by historians in the 13th century about books and the printing press.
I thought you were going to say it was a new tap or a new keg or something. Brand new technology.
In 1450, it took 2 months to copy a book by hand.
But with the printing press, the 95 theses could be published, thousands of them, in just 2 weeks. Think what that did for the Reformation.
One of the early uses was so the Pope could print his indulgences.
Yeah, but he also printed small devotions on the side.
Can I just interject something I heard that I thought was so interesting?
Sure.
When you talked about the 95 Theses, he was talking about, they talked about the German work ethic.
Yes.
And he said it was a word ethic, because when Luther started writing, Protestant communities put a great deal of emphasis on literacy, so they became
yes.
literate.
Yes.
And so it wasn't the German work ethic, it was the word ethic.
Yes.
That was,
that's excellent. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So if you look up the historical records, which I did, all of this stuff was written about books in the printing press over 550 years ago, including the major concern about what effect these books were going to have on young people. They got a hold of all that information before it had been censored by the Pope.
So moving ahead, we'd like to make the bold assertion that you all just learned something. Next slide. Let's review what just happened. We told you a story about a conversation overheard in a pub. We reinforced the main points of that story with a visual slide. Then we asked you to have a conversation about that story so that you could connect it with your own experiences and with someone else's experiences, and test out some of your ideas. Finally, you all made some conclusions about what was being talked about in the pub. A bit erroneous, maybe. So let's compare that with what educators call the learning style here. So the story and then the slide that kind of summarized the story was this, was the sensory input, and that's kind of step one in the learning cycles that educators talk about. And the really interesting thing about this learning cycle is that it corresponds to different physical spots in the brain, and this has been shown by imaging research in the last 10 years or so. And so after the sensory input, you reflected on it for a while, and you talked about it with the person next to you, and you made some tentative conclusions about what that meant. And then we made you test the conclusions by telling you the answer, essentially, which sent you around another cycle, around the learning cycle, as we talked about. The printing press and Luther and that part of it. So interesting connections between some of the stuff we've learned scientifically recently and what educators have talked about for a long time with the learning cycles. So this is how anybody learns, but are there special things we ought to know about how adults learn?
Okay, so now we'll look at that. So think about an important time in your life when you headed in a new direction. Maybe you something happened in your work life, or your personal life, or your faith life. Think about that time in your life. And if you were going to tell somebody about it, what would you tell them about that? So take a moment now, go and look at the paper Vic's passing around and reflect on this experience. Maybe your new direction was a different job. Maybe a move to a new city. Maybe you got a new responsibility at church. Think about some time like that and what you might say to somebody else about that experience that you're remembering right now. Just take a couple moments. We're not going to ask you to actually say it. We just want you to think about that.
Maybe you had
the paper.
Maybe you had a child.
Oh, yeah, maybe you had a baby. Yeah, that's a major life change. Okay, so think about that change. Then I'm going to ask for a show of hands. So think about that for a second. Okay, everybody's got some major change in mind now. Okay, so how many of you think you learned something through this new experience? Okay. Do you think you'll remember it the rest of your life? Raise your hand if you think you'll remember this, all those changes that went on for a long time. That's assuming we don't get Alzheimer and don't remember anything at the end. Okay. Were you actively involved in that new direction? Did you just let it happen to you? Or how many of you were actively involved in going in that new direction, the new job, whatever it was? Joining the service, whatever. Okay. Was there emotion involved in this event? Was it an emotional time for you when you had to go off to the Marines or whatever it was? Okay. Were you changed by this event? Did you feel that you were changed by this event? Okay. Because learning is change. And there are changes in the brain and there are changes in you. These questions and their answers illustrate some further points about adult learning that we're going to incorporate into this next section.
So, if you'd kind of look at your yellow handout there, I'd like to talk first about the first four points on that handout about motivation for adult learning. Adults are most motivated to learn when the stakes are high. Problems, transitions, crises in life. We tried to motivate you just now by asking you to think about an important time in your life when you headed in some kind of new direction. For example, as Judy said, losing your job and some of the other things we mentioned. Adults are more problem-centered, second point, more problem-centered than subject-centered in the way they learn. They're always gaining more experience, so older people have more experience. Also, there's a change in time perspective as people mature. College students, for example, are learning material they'll use sometime in the future. In contrast, adults want to apply their knowledge to some current thing going on in their life. Next point, humor can assist learning. I've got to learn how to use my pointer. Our friend Walt Bowman that we mentioned always started out his theological exposés with, which were all lecture, with jokes. And jokes have a good way of sort of making a nice cordial connection between the presenter and the audience. And he was a master at that. I tried a little of that with the Heart Lake joke at the beginning, but I'm not sure whether how well it worked. But we've had some good laughs here already amongst all of you. And I hope there was a bit of humor when you realized that Overheard in a Pub was about the printing press instead of what's going on today. The last point about the motivation for learning is that emotion is really important. You all got involved in the discussion Overheard in a Pub, and this suggests you had some strong feelings about what you thought the topic was. And the story from your life probably had an emotional component for you as well. physicians who deal with patients in crises often remember those patients and those crises for decades later because of the emotional content. And I was thinking about the emotional part when Jereen was talking this morning about the situations and the happenings in Afghanistan. Just the difficulty of those people in their lives has a strong emotional content. So I learned something that I'll not forget. So it's good to start with life problems for adult learning. Stories, case studies, things that are related to people's lives. These all work well. Now we'd like you to think for a minute, what has motivated each of you to be an adult learner? Anybody want to share that? Think for a moment. Reflect on your own learning as an adult. What keeps you going? What motivates you?
Curiosity. Yeah. Uh-huh. For me, it's time. When I was young, I didn't spend as much time learning as I wish I had, and now I have the time, and I wish I could have had the time that I had then to learn what I wanted to know now, back then, which has to do with, you know, that's just rambling.
That's good, because there's that old, that quote, are saying that it's a shame education is wasted on the young.
Exactly. Or Mickey Mantle's, if I would have known what I knew then, I wouldn't be the way I am now.
Anybody else?
Okay, then let's look at how to help adults learn. There are four things that can help adults to learn, and they're up here on the screen. Not only are adults motivated differently than college students, but adults learn differently than college students do. Adults learn best by connecting the new material to the prior experiences in their life. Mm-hmm. And that is learning that's already up there. They want to hook it on to something that's already up there. And this works best when the learner is an active participant. Mm-hmm. They have to be committed to the learning process, and then they're willing to go that extra mile. So discussion groups help facilitate that, because you get involved in it, you get committed to it. And you had an opportunity to do that when you conversed with the person next to you, and you all made connections about either the good experiences you had with the technology you thought about, or bad ones that you saw. And this kind of connecting is best done by learner-centered approaches. Storytelling, case studies, role plays, small group work, any of those kinds of things. Not by lecture and not by long monologues. Although a really good lecture can give you a lot of facts, if you don't get involved in it, you walk out the door and you're done with it. The learner-centered approach is in the direction of application to principle, whereas the teacher-centered approach is in the direction of principle to application. Here's the Bible passage we're going to talk about. Now apply it to your life. And this other method is look at a situation and then connect it to the biblical information that you have, and what will that tell you about it. You're going to be experiencing many learner-centered approaches all this week. Each day we're going to do a different one with different stories. And they're a centerpiece of all of our Life Crossing curricula. And, oh, by the way, the story overheard in the pub is one example of a story in The Spring of Christian Life, Understanding the Faith Journey of Younger Adults, that is, post-high school, post-college students, in a chapter called Values for a Technological Age. The foreword for that book was written by Chris Sharon. If you were here earlier in the summer, he was one of the co-directors for Holden for the summer. Adult learning can be assisted by using verbal and written and visual input, and we tried to use all three in this one. Learning is enhanced by discussing questions that connect to deeper understanding. They're by problem solving, by application to life. So I'm sure that you have had some of these before. Which one of these works the best for you? Helps you learn?
Well,
any one of these more important to you than the other?
Well, thinking of the first one, I think one of the blessings of getting older is the pieces fit into the puzzle. So that must be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It's just easier.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
A lot of aha moments because it works.
Yes. And Dick and I found that in our college teaching when we were teaching people to try to go beyond the next step. That if we could say, okay, connect it to this, they were more likely to remember it than if you just said, learn this for tomorrow.
How many of you, when you try to remember a name, connect that name with somebody with the same name that you know well?
Or some of the mnemonic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like a letter in the alphabet or...
Mm-hmm.
Or a mental picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's connecting. That's connecting with something that's already there.
Yeah, yeah, right.
There was comment.
I was just going to say about experience. I took a class, a poetry class at Marsh State University, and the teacher was doing everything they could to get the students involved, but they were just not relating. And because poetry had to do with life experiences. I talked to her. She said she's going to talk to the chairman about making a prerequisite yet to be 40 years old.
That's good.
It had to do with conformity and death and loss and all this kind of stuff, and they were just trying to get the credits and get out of there.
Yes.
They weren't relating it. They were missing the whole point.
Yes.
They didn't have a lot of life experience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Yeah.
My turn?
Yep.
Where was I?
We're on active learning on the...
Oh, yeah. Active learning. Now we're in churches. Discussion groups are one of the several active learning avenues in the church. When done well, discussion groups can change people through learning. Discussions permit connecting to life experience, seeing from multiple perspectives, as we're doing here. That leads to some deeper understanding. Sharing of emotion. Very, very common in church discussion groups. Incorporating humor, as we've done here, and sharing in our faith development. The conversation with the person next to you gave you an opportunity for this type of active learning this afternoon. And then faith development. I don't think we think often enough that faith development is not an individual kind of activity. It's something that happens in community. And I think that learning is really enhanced when it's done together. Learning about faith is enhanced when it's done together with other Christians, connected with life's experience and applied to life's problems. This then leads to action and change. Think about Lutheran or church servant activities for youth. What a terrific activity or terrific learning experiences those servant activities are, because they learn about poor people, they learn about collaboration and cooperation, they help each other with their faith development. Same for adult mission trips. And the desire for shared... Uh-oh.
You've
got to
wiggle the mouse.
Looks like you want to time that.
Yeah, you may have been on the tree. While you're working on that, could you explain a little further? I'm asking your wife, but she's going to do that.
Okay.
When you talk about faith development, are you talking about
you think I
group
to plug it
or
in?
Individual? And
so.
Are you talking about it from the standpoint of teacher, student, or what?
When we talk about faith development, we're talking about our faith development.
Individual.
Yeah.
Not
right.
Collective.
Right. Although it, what we're also saying is that it has the communal dimension to it. And it's a much richer experience if it is in the community setting.
Okay.
And
so it's individual, but it's also collective.
Yes, that's right. And what we're, what our sort of theme is that if you have a good adult learning program in your church, then you will develop the community aspect of the whole group in a lot of ways. And you won't become, you won't be a bunch of individuals all going their separate ways. You will become a part of this group that has common goals, a common mission.
Common direction.
Common direction, right. And it becomes easier for you to find those common goals, those common directions, if you have developed that community. So if you have a good learning program in your church that has the 10 points that are on this yellow sheet,
mm-hmm.
then you will have the feeling among your people that, oh, we are in all this, we are in this all together. You will be teaching the values of the Christian faith, and you will be teaching also the Christian faith. We didn't talk about the fact that all of the materials are also Bible-centered. And we'll do more of that every day this week. We will show how that works into it and how we connect a story to the biblical basis of it. Today we are kind of giving you the scientific and the educational aspects behind adult learning. And another one of our goals is that you would be able to then evaluate educational materials that you want to use in your church or group or for a retreat or whatever, because you'll know to look for some of these things.
Of course, ours all include all of these things.
Yeah, right. One of the worst Bible studies I think we ever participated in was when we started at Genesis 1 and went through, kept going through the Bible without any extra information. Here's Genesis 1, and read that and talk about it, and then talk about Genesis 2. It would have been much more helpful to say, well, there's parallel stories in Genesis, and why was that, and how were the stories of the Bible, how was it decided that those stories should be put in the Bible? All of that kind of stuff would have been much more helpful than to just say, okay, in the beginning God created. That really just, well, at least it turned me off. And when I went away to college, I had said I didn't want anything to do with church. I was done with it because I couldn't ask any questions. The pastor was a German Lutheran, and you weren't allowed to smile. You were just supposed to, yes, sir, all that kind of stuff. And I said, I'm done with it. And I had a history professor who was an atheist, and he was determined to teach us ancient history without any religion or anything in it. That was all bunk. And so I was ready to just can it all. But the fortunate thing was, by then I had started dating Dick, and his brother lived in the same town that I was going to college in. And they needed a babysitter on Sunday. And so they offered me a babysitting job. I would go to church with them. They would bring me home after church, they would feed me dinner. And they would go off to their, they were both musicians, they'd go off to their rehearsals or their concerts or their programs, and I'd stay with the kids. Now, what could a college student ask for more? Free meal and get paid to do the babysitting. So, of course, I went every Sunday. Well, the best thing was that the pastor, Pastor Panning, the church was also named Trinity Lutheran, my home church had been, but the pastor, as soon as he came to after the confession and he announced the forgiveness, he smiled broadly as if forgiveness was a really great thing. And that was just so incredible to me. First of all, you were allowed to smile in church. And secondly, the pastor did it, and he looked right at you and said, your sins are forgiven, and what a great thing that is, and go on in the future. So had it not been for him, I would have been, gone forever. Who knows when I would have found my way back. And of course, then sometimes I'd stay for the adult education program at that church. So it was just this incredible blessing that it all happened that way. But you can't. Well, I'm going on a side trip, but
sometimes those are the best places.
Yeah. Does anybody else have a time when they can share about some learning experience? I mean, because I certainly learned a lot from that experience that really changed your whole thinking or your whole feeling about that.
I have a negative story.
Okay.
I try to get involved with some, but a majority of our formal adult Sunday school on Sunday mornings, the highlight is to save up the money and get someone from the seminary to come. And those are all strictly lectures. There's no questions, there's no time for comments.
Yep.
They don't have all the time for a college schedule, you know. 50 minutes of material, and
out the door.
Close the books and out the door. So I think that we have a lot of elderly, and I think they're used to that. So I try to do discussions. I mean, it's shocking. So I represent change. So there's a lot of people trained to sit and listen to a lecture.
Yes.
But it doesn't really meet needs, or it doesn't engage or get people
That's
involved.
That's right. So. And you wonder how much is retained and taken away from that.
The chairs get warm for 50 minutes. That's about it.
If you're a college student, you know, it's different, but as one gets older,
a little change. Brain structure is different at that point in life, too.
Yep. That's, yeah,
that's
I think
part
it's
of the other piece.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have in my synod a missional leadership academy, and the intent is that half the congregations in the synod will go through this experience of learning how to be missional, how to be outside your congregation, and how to move into your community. And I sit as the only female on the task force and complain every task force meeting because every lecture we have is a seminary professor and comes in and talks, and then everybody goes home. And I'm like, no one's learning anything.
Yep.
They learn in their book discussions because they have to read and then they have to engage with each other.
Yes.
And I'm like, why can we not tell the professors you need questions that engage the group, at least at the beginning and at the end? You can talk in the middle, but give us something to start us out and give us something that we can take home, because otherwise it's worthless. And the only lecture that we have is by a marriage and family therapist who actually engaged the group, who would present the point and say, you know, here are triangles and here's how they work. Where are they in your congregation? And suddenly everybody could tell you the triangles that are working in their congregation between their pastor and their council and this person or that person. You know, and it's a marked difference when you've got, you know, a set of presentations you're expected to be at and one sticks out because there's real learning happening compared to the others.
That's well, I think your premise was that we learn how to learn. The older we get, the more we know, well, this works for me and this doesn't.
Right.
And for myself, I never knew that I was dyslexic and I couldn't learn this way.
Mm-hmm.
But now, having stumbled and fallen for so many years on that path, I don't go down that path. I go down this path because it's a lot easier. And when I explain to you why I can't remember your name, I'm not being offensive. I have to do your association and say, I learned how to learn. And I think the older we get, the wiser we get, because the more our brain structure, does it change? Does our brain structure change, or does experience say this is an easier, more facilitated methodology?
Well, several things are happening. I think it's age 31, we're losing more neuronal connections, and by the way, they're in the billions, than we're gaining. You know, a little baby is gaining incredible numbers of neural connections,
right.
Nerve cells, and then the connections between them. So we're losing those, which is why it's hard to remember some things at times, and the redundant pathways to remember stuff start getting lopped off one at a time, and then you have to start trying to remember. But the other thing, more related to the actual learning, is that as we get older, we've got a lot of stuff up there, a lot of life experiences, a lot of stuff we've learned. And it's really hard to do something new unless we connect it to the old. But if we can connect it to something we already know, or if we can connected to that life experience that we've had, it works better.
Yeah. Retrieval problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I do think we have to be careful that we don't get too negative to these professors. We use a lot of seminary professors in our adult education program at church, and they're very interactive and engaging, or we wouldn't have them back, because we don't sit there without talking. And we also have a variety of different types of classes, so it may not be yours this time, but I know next time it's going to be mine, because we don't do the same thing every series.
If you're motivated to come back, that's the key. You got to stay motivated.
Right.
Well, it is related to how we structure. You
I was just going to, I did a year-long training in how to be a trainer, and what was said there was that children are like sponges. They soak up everything you put in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're saying an adults are like, you've got to have a hook to hang it on. The only thing I see differently is I think at the college age is when that transition occurs.
Mm-hmm.
In college, I learned how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't retain a massive amount of the technical information, but I learned the thinking processes and the organizational processes that have carried me through the rest of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't have done that if I'd just been treated like a sponge. I think college teaching should be using these techniques.
Judy, the hour is almost up here, so
okay, all right.
We ought to try to finish up here.
He's hungry.
Good dinner tonight, too.
Yeah. I was just going to say that the handout that you have there is compiled from a number of sources, and we've tried to just put what's really important for adult education in churches. It could have been a lot more, but these are the most important points.
Yeah, all this week we're going to be looking at adult education and how it relates to developing Christian community and advancing the common good. And every day we're going to look at a different issue that's pertinent to adults' lives or society in general. So we'll have a story, and we're going to use a different teaching approach. And we'll try to show how the methods that are presented fit those 8 or 10 points that are on that handout that you have. So you can critique what we do the next time, and you can say, well, you know, you failed in that area or whatever. So come back prepared to think about how that pertains to you. All the stories are going to come from our books, which we saw up in the bookstore, so you can have a look at them and check them out. When you go in, there's recommendations by teaching staff, so there's lots of them from all the other people that are there, so you can have a look at those.
They're up on the top shelf, but you don't see the face of the book. They're in endwise,
oh. Mm-hmm.
Because there's quite a few of them, and they would take a lot of space if they were face up. There's 5 curricula that we've developed.
We also use materials from a recent article by Walter Brueggemann that we'll be adding to it.
To our presentations
during the week. We really feel that a strong adult education is vital for developing Christian community. And that's why we've published these materials, because we want people to have the kind of nurturing community that we've had all these years that have been fostered by adult education. And so that's the topic for tomorrow. We're going to connect the dots about learning in churches and how you build community, and we'll look inside the church and outside the church, because you build community in both of those places. So that's what happens tomorrow.
What time is your session tomorrow?
Tomorrow is at 6:15. And
it's here, right? Creekside. It's in this room tomorrow, 6:15.
Yeah, it's here in this room at 6:15.
We need a few volunteer readers for our stories. So we need 2 women for one story and 2 men for the other. This is twisting your arm to come back, maybe. If nobody volunteers, we know we'll have to recruit an additional audience.
They're fun stories, though.
So they're easy to read, and we'll give you a copy now. So anybody like to do that? Nobody wants to commit, you might be on your hike. All right, we'll see who comes tomorrow and hand them out tomorrow.
Okay, thanks for coming today. We appreciate your comments and
thank you.
Look forward to having you again.